Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, obviously, we're all pumped up about our next guest. We've been talking quite a bit about Freddie Kitchens lately, and there's a lot to talk about. He had his press conference earlier this week, and now he's on the Bull and Fox show today, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Here he is, the head coach of the Browns, Freddie Kitchens. Coach, great to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about y'all?
We are fantastic. We're excited about the future of the Browns, and we're excited about you being part of the team. You know, you're already part of the team, but not being the head coach. And you know, I loved your press conference the other day, but as you know better than anybody, or as well as anybody, the press conference is one thing, and then getting the work done on the field is what really matters. But what, of all the things you said, and you said a lot of great things that stood out the other day, what I loved the most is when you said that 7-8-1 was a disappointment, and that you got annoyed by people who thought that was good. And I love that, because I feel like this, there's been kind of a loser mentality in the past involving the Browns, where it was like, hey, we won four games this year. That's better than it's been. The expectation should be higher, and I think you're going to make them higher. I love that. Talk about that a little bit, if you will, about raising expectations in Cleveland.
Well, I think first and foremost, you got to raise the expectation of how you perform. It's not about the result. It truly isn't ever about the result. I mean, if you tell somebody that they can perform at this level, they're going to win the game. I guarantee you, they will perform at that level. So I don't know why you don't just go out. You do the best you can. You prepare the best you can. You meet the best you can. You take every rep like that's the rep that matters, because you never know when it is. And then you prepare to play the game, and you play the game and see where it lays. And then if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. But don't set limitations on yourself.
How tough is it, Coach, to change a culture inside a football organization in the National Football League?
I don't know. I mean, I think we had a good start this past year, but that's the only thing it was a start. But, again, you got to realize no two teams are ever the same. Mm-hmm. You can have better players and have different results. So it doesn't matter always about that. It's about buy-in, creating a sense of buy-in for each individual player and how they affect each other, and then how they affect the group, and then how the group affects the team. So every little bit counts with these guys, and we'll see where we are, but we're never gonna limit ourselves to any kind of record or anything like that. You know, we always gonna have one goal and one goal only. But goal is not going to be our master. Our master is going to be our performance and how we prepare and how we play, individually, collectively, offense, defense, special teams, and then see where it is on Sunday.
Speaking of preparing, Coach, you're preparing a great coaching staff, hopefully, right? We've all been impressed by the hires you've made so far. You know, one thing I noticed, I hope my calculations are right, but according to my numbers, you've hired at least six coaches to your staff that have at least 2 years experience as either a head coach or a coordinator at some level, whether it's college or the Canadian Football League or the NFL. It seems like you're putting together a very experienced at a high level of coaching staff. Was that purposefully, or did it just work out that way?
It just worked out that way. It truly was, I've said this before. I don't get into politicians too much. I like coaches that like to teach. And that's where it's all at. You know, coaches are just another version of a teacher. And that's why we want to be here. We want to teach these guys how to play with technique and be sound in what we're teaching and, go from there. But, you know, I'm really happy with the staff that we've put together so far. He's got a lot of guys that are in it for the same reasons that I'm in it for, and that's to help these players play to the best of their ability and get the most out of them so they get the most out of themselves individually and collectively.
You know, sometimes coaches can be real stubborn, right? It's my way or the highway, and, you know, I'm going to do it a certain way, and I don't care if someone else has an idea. I'm just going to do it my way. I love in your press conference how you talked about how, you know, you're a first-time head coach, and you're still going to be learning on the job, and you're open to ideas from other people. And because, hell, I mean, again, you're going to be going through this process learning. Every single day is probably you're learning something new, right?
Oh, no doubt. You know, the You know, I think the one of the greatest signs of bravery is asking for help, okay? So because if you ask for help, you're admitting that you don't know, or maybe you're just wanting to know something that's a little better. So believe me, I'm not opposed to asking someone if I don't know. And if I don't have, we've got a great organization here I can get answers for. We're putting together a great coaching staff that I can get answers if I need them. And if I can't get it here, I know the people to call to get the answers. So to me, that's, I mean, I don't know, that's probably the most, the biggest form of being selfish is not asking for help when you won't even admit it to yourself that you need the help.
We're talking with Browns new head coach, Freddie Kitchens. Coach, I don't know if this is too early to ask this question, but I'm going to take a shot anyway. What can we expect to see differently in training camp that we haven't seen in the past in Browns camp?
Well, I only went through one training camp with the Browns, and you know, I think you need to be physical. You need to earn some scars, per se, in training camp. You need to develop, of course, being in shape and things like that, but at some point during training camp, you need to start molding yourself into a team. Early in training camp and even up to the last cut date, it's an individual business, all right? These guys are trying to get jobs. But once they get jobs, you need to have a collective number of guys that are already kind of molded together as a team, and they're playing for each other. And listen, they're going to – I mean, you know, we're going to have a good training camp. So you know, it's just the fact of, you know, you try to use that time to come together and get your core guys and get guys to follow your core guys and knowing how we go about business on a day-to-day basis. And then at the end of the day, you come out of it with a collective group that wants to pull in the same direction.
Freddie, I'm guessing if guys get a day off, they'll probably be in uniform at practice, right?
I don't know. It depends on who's driving the bus, I reckon.
You're driving the damn bus now, Coach.
Just kidding.
That's funny. That's good.
We're talking with Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens. Coach, you know, last year when we were at training camp, we were surprised, at least that publicly, Baker Mayfield wasn't given a chance to start. Now, maybe behind the scenes he was, but to the public, we were told he wasn't given a chance to start. Your philosophy in general, whether it's quarterbacks or any other position, do you believe in open competition for every job?
Well, I mean, I hope that everybody would want to compete for every job. I know Baker Mayfield's going to compete for his job every time he goes out there. And that doesn't mean he's competing against someone else. He's competing with himself. And I know he's going to be competing with my ass, and I'm not going to be throwing any ball, but we're going to push him. And I know the guys that are going to be coaching is going to push him. So he better be competing, and he will be. And whether you're competing against someone else or yourself, that's kind of my point. This is not about results. Yeah. This is about competing with yourself and getting the most out of yourself for each practice and each rep and each day. That's what it's all about. That's the core. I'm glad you brought that up. That's the core of everything we're going to do.
Love it.
Is compete with ourselves.
We're talking about Browns head coach Freddie Kitchens. To the point, you talk about pushing Baker Mayfield and pushing players in general. When you do that as a coach, do you need to know the individual well? And because do you have to push different guys in different ways? Or is there just a general philosophy as to, how, hey, I push guys this way?
Oh, I don't think. I mean, there's certain guys you can push certain ways and certain you can't. I mean, I learned from one of the greatest with Coach Parcells that. And I'm not going to be try to be Coach Parcells. I'm not Coach Parcells. Hell, we sound different. We're from different parts of the country. So, you know, but I know this for a fact. You need to know what motivates that individual. Everyone on this level is going to be motivated by something. You got to figure out what that is. And most of them, they're motivated just by wanting to be great. Yeah. And that's easy.
You know, last year there was a lot made of the trash talk and things like that between the players, you know, on the field, off the field, things like that. And you supported all that because it's all about that competitive nature that you talk about. How important is that for the building of the chemistry of a team when you have those guys that do talk that trash?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, again, I think every team is different.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think the individuals that make up that team are different. You know, as long as all that stuff doesn't affect your play, you know, I don't have a problem with any of that. It's just, you know, ultimately we're out there to do a job, and that's to get better every day. And I don't want to throw too much coach speak out there, but, it really is truly just about getting better. And if a guy feels like he earns an edge by talking a little bit, I don't mind. I mean, as long as he backs it up, I don't care.
That's the point. I mean, you can't talk trash unless you're having success, right?
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, it's those guys that irk me that, you know, they talk trash, but then they give up an 80-yard bomb. But if they talk trash then, I want them coming back and talking again and changing something up.
Coach, early in the year, obviously, you know, this past season, Carlos Hyde was the starting running back. He gets traded. Nick Chubb gets more of an opportunity, and he really exploded on the scene. And considering he didn't play a ton early, he had a fantastic rookie season. What should our expectations be for him for next year?
Nobody can put expectations on themselves or on Nick more than he does himself. You know, he expects a lot out of himself from the standpoint of he doesn't want to miss a run here or there, and things like that are going to happen. You know, the best stat that nobody's mentioned this whole offseason with Nick Chubb is how many times did he fumble last year? It was zero.
Yeah, it's true.
And, you know, that's the best stat Nick can have, is holding on to the ball and let his physical ability. Listen, when I started, I've coached quarterbacks just as much as I coach running backs, but every time I coach running backs, I walk into the room and they're like, what the hell are you going to teach us about running the football? And I'll tell them up front, the first thing I say, I'm never going to teach them how to run the football. I'm just going to teach them where their eyes are. And, you know, that's all you can do to those guys and let their ability take care of itself.
Freddie, you seem to be real comfortable in your own skin. You know, you played football at Alabama. You grew up in Alabama. How much is that responsible for defining who you are as a person and your upbringing, and how important is that to you?
I think it says everything about me. And I think if you dig to the core of every individual, it you can find it. But, you know, I think as you go through life and, you know, you go to college, you go to school, if you don't go to college, whatever it is, you evolve as a person and you try to evolve one way or the other. And it's going to be one way or the other. It's going to be up or down. And, you know, you try to make good decisions in life. You try to make good decisions professionally. And just keep evolving and be open to change, be open to listening to people and just not hearing them. There's a big difference there. And to do that, sometimes you have to open your ears and listen and evolve and just see where you end up. And again, I said this the other day also, and I mean this, and you keep hearing the same things because these are like core beliefs of mine. You're never going to be the same. I'm not going to be the same person in 10 years than I am now if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing by evolving. As a person, as a coach, and as a father, and as a husband, and everything else. So, you know, if you've ever made it, then I don't know what else you have to go on to, you know? You're ever changing. You're either changing for the bad or you're changing for the good. And hopefully I make decisions where I change for the good.
We're talking with the new Browns head coach, Freddie Kitchens. Coach, speaking of listening, we really had a great time listening to Coach Gene Stallings. He was a guest on our show last week, right before it became official. We spoke with him for 20 minutes. It was an extreme pleasure to talk to him. He had so many great things to say about you, including the fact that he said he always thought you would be a good coach, even more than Dabo Sweeney. Like, he kind of saw coaching you right away because of your leadership as a quarterback. And then one of the other things he said was that one of the most important things to him was his players, you know, being successful and graduating. So I had to follow up and ask him specifically about you. We're going to play the clip for you right now. Here it is. How good a student was Freddie, Coach?
He was the best I remember. He was average. He was always eligible. I wouldn't say that he was top of his class, but he wasn't the bottom of it either.
Hey, hopefully we're producing a little bit better than that around here. But let's just go back a little bit. I did have a good time in college, too, though, so you can't take that away from me.
Are you partied hard?
No, I never did.
he talked about your the drive in the Iron Bowl, 75 yards.
Everything. He
remembered, like, every single play from those games and from that Iron Bowl. You remember anything about that game?
Well, I remember everything about the game also. That was his last game.
Yep.
And I also remember the two other Iron Bowls that we the last one we threw a screen pass. The fullback took a couple steps and fumbled and then they lined up 30 seconds later and kicked a field goal to beat us. And then in 95, my sophomore year, if we'd had instant replay, I'd have been like a legend in Alabama or something because we'd have beat them 3 years in a row then. But Going back to Coach Stallings, you know, the one thing when I was getting recruited by him, I'll give you a little tidbit here. The only three things that he told my parents at the time was he wanted us to leave there with a degree, leave there with a championship ring, and leave there being a better person than when they got there. And that was his mantra. I mean, that was what he lived off of, and that's what he wanted. He was just as proud to for the player to get a degree than anything else. And when he saw a person leave school being a better person than when they got there, that's what really pleased him. Now, there's so many other factors that factor into getting a championship. I just missed one on each end.
Right.
But, you know, those are two of those three things now I accomplished, and I promise you he's just as happy as those as anything else.
Well, you obviously have ties to Alabama still, and you referenced talking to Nick Saban. When you talk to Saban, did you tell him you were going to steal his defensive coordinator too?
No. No, I didn't tell him that, but I was glad we were able to.
Can you tell us about Tosh? What do you like about him?
Well, I mean, you guys have checked. Y'all see him in the fall. You'll know what you get when you see him. But, you know, he's an intense guy. He's a teacher. The best quality I can give, best thing I can say about Tosh is he'll show you a cut-up of something he's teaching individually. Then you'll see it in a group setting. And then you'll turn the game tape on, and you'll see the same thing he's teaching in the game tape. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you'd probably have to be in this business to really appreciate that, but for you to directly see what they're teaching on the practice field carry over to the game, that's pretty impressive. And like I said, we wanted teachers first and foremost here.
Coach, it seems like more often than, you know, lately, a lot of former quarterbacks are getting more head coaching jobs. Obviously, you were a former quarterback. What do you think it is about playing that position that maybe makes you more qualified, or at least people think you may be more qualified to be a head coach?
I don't know. I don't know. I've never really thought about that much. You know, you can tell by my body shape, you wouldn't probably say that I was a quarterback, but a lot of quarterbacks get to be my shape. So I don't know what it entails about that. I know that to be a quarterback, you need to have leadership, and hopefully you develop those qualities that will help lead throughout life, you know, whether it's with a hardware store down the street or a football team, it doesn't matter. Being a leader is being a leader, and being a leader has more to do about people than the specific skills that you're demonstrating.
Is that even more important than would you rather have a good quarterback who's a great leader than an elite quarterback who's not a great leader?
No, I would rather have the leader. You know, but that leader now, he needs to throw the ball like Baker.
Yeah, that's right.
And he needs to make plays like Baker, and he needs to make decisions like Baker. So give me those three qualities, and then give me a leader, and I'll take that quarterback.
Well, let me ask you this. You sat down with John Dorsey for the interview and the whole staff. I'm curious, what was an off-the-wall kind of question from Dorsey that you remember from the interview?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Really off the wall.
I'm just kidding. It was really, you know, it was really a tremendous experience to go in for the interview. I don't really know of any funny questions or anything like that.
Or anything or just something that is memorable, you know, if you can tell it on the air.
Yeah, I mean, the most memorable part of the whole process was when Mr. Haslam said I had the job if I wanted it. So I definitely accepted it, and then now we are in there.
When did he tell you that?
It was that Wednesday. Everybody found out before I got out of the meeting. I'm glad I took my phone in the meeting so I could text my wife so I wouldn't get in trouble for her finding out through the media other than for me.
When he said you can have the job if you want it, did you get chills?
No, I felt warmth because I was hugging him.
So you right away, you're like, I'm taking the job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? This is the Cleveland Browns.
That's right.
Last thing, Coach, in that same vein, as you've, you know, had the job for a week now and you sit and you think about and the road to this from position coach for a long time, you talked about how you're not a self-promoter like other people are. You did a great job as OC. A lot of people were excited. You know, you said in the press conference that you weren't a popular choice. I couldn't disagree with you more. You're a very popular choice here in Cleveland. Maybe there's a few knuckleheads nationally that maybe didn't like it. But generally, I think people are excited. But from your perspective, have you had a moment to sit back and think, gosh, all this hard work has finally paid off? I'm the head coach in the NFL.
I would say no. Okay. And not trying to be like anything other than just shooting you straight here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see it as like this is not the end goal.
Gotcha.
And to say that I made it would mean this is the end goal. This was the end expectations. This is not the end. This is the, you know, this is the beginning. This is the excitement is created not because of what we did last year. This is the beginning of hopefully something very special. And to do that takes a lot of hard work moving forward. So all that work I've done in the past means nothing now.
Yeah.
It's what we do from this point on.
Who you got in the playoffs, Coach? Who you think's going to win? You know, you're watching the games right now?
Is Cleveland playing?
No, they're not, so you don't care, right?
I don't care.
Fair enough. Fair Coach, enough. Hey, thanks for all your time. We appreciate it. Good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.